St. Patrick's Day. The top of the morning to you all, okay? All around the world, especially in Ireland and Australia, people will be celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Patrick's Day is by wearing green and pinching the ones that don't have green on. Also drinking lots of green beer. And leprechauns everywhere. People think of the shamrock as being good luck. Patrick used the three-leaf shamrock to explain Trinity. He also explained to the Irish people about the one true God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one. Some celebrate St. Patrick's Day by drinking themselves silly. That's totally the opposite of what Patrick was trying to achieve. Patrick showed how a man committed to God the Father can achieve mighty works, like turning a pagan nation into a Christian nation like Ireland. In some ways, we must pray with all our hearts, our mind, our soul, and trust God to direct our lives. Amen. James 1, there you are, James, 2-4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Paul tells us in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Peter also tells us in 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing. Billy Graham, in his devotions, Wisdom for Each Day, shares the following story about Queen Victoria. Great Britain has always had the slums of London, like many other big cities around the world. Can you imagine in your mind what the slums were like in London back in the 1850s, with rats everywhere and plagues, flies, and the Great Plague of 1665 and 66. Some call it the Black Death. Now go back even further in your mind and your imagination to the year 386 AD. Imagine what life was like when Patrick was born. I would say it was very, very primitive. I have been on mission trips to Brazil and Haiti, some of the poorest places on earth, where the conditions were so bad that it would make our homeless look like they're on a vacation, with air to breathe and space. And even Pastor Mark and some of you here went to Thailand, and Pastor Mark talks about going to the dump to see where people lived, and the kids would have cardboard or find anything for their house, you know, piece of styrofoam or stuff. Just, it's our homeless really have it much better than other places. In Brazil, it was like on a mountainside, and you can just imagine the waste all coming down, and you know, and they're right next to each other. Queen Victoria went on a few times down to the slums of London. One time she had tea with a poor elderly woman. When the queen was ready to leave, she asked the poor elderly woman, was there anything she could do for her? The woman said, yes, your majesty, you can meet me in heaven. And the queen turned to her and said to her softly, yes, I will be there, only because of the blood that was shed for you and for me. Queen Victoria in her day was the most powerful woman in the world, yet she had to depend on the blood of Christ for her salvation, and so do we. Let's read this one together, please. Matthew 7, 12. The golden rule says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For the this is the law of the, and the prophets. That is what Patrick was trying to do. Now, this is the rest of the story, not by Paul Harvey, about Patrick, okay? We do know that Patrick is not Irish. Many think he was from Britain. He was born in the year 386 AD, give or take a year here or there. No one knows for sure, I think, okay? In a poor little village called Roman Britain. His father and his family were members of the local Christian church. Patrick did not want anything to do with God, Jesus, or the church. He was a young teenager that rebelled against the church. His real name given to him at birth was Maywin Suket. At the age of 16, his village was attacked and ransacked by a group of marauder Irish pirates. They snatched Patrick and thousands of people and dragged them off to Ireland to be sold as slaves to different tribal chief leaders across the country of Ireland. Ireland had pagan idol worshippers everywhere. This was a time when the Roman Empire was losing its power and its grip on the world. Rome was beginning to fall. Patrick learned how to be a shepherd to a herd of sheep for six exhausting long years. All alone, nearly all the time, he was with the sheep day and night in the coldest winter storms. His life conditions were extreme, freezing and starving and isolated most of the time. No one cared about him. His parents thought he was dead. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 22:6, I believe Mark used this verse last week. I've had it on ready for a long time. Okay. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I think being older, we see that more, that we are hoping and praying for our children that go different ways, and that we're praying that they'll come back. That's what happened to Patrick. The isolation made him think and remember his earlier days in church. He started remembering prayers and songs from his time in church when he was very young. He started praying to God continuously, day and night, some of his childhood prayers, saying them over 100 times a day and praying most of the night. Patrick's faith was getting stronger each and every day as he was living in the hills, hardly surviving. Luke 18 says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? God told Patrick in a dream he would be leaving Ireland soon. God said to now is the time to escape. Go to the coast some 200 miles away. Run. There's a boat waiting for you. He had no Uber, no Lyft. You know, he didn't have Google. He didn't have anything to tell him which way to go. Okay? Psalm 31:3 says, since you are my rock and your fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. I'm pretty sure Patrick was asking for guidance from God, just like King David did when he in his time. Psalm 73:24, you guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. All of us should be asking God for guidance in everything we say and do. Most of the population at that time were pagans or barbarians in Ireland and Britain. Patrick made his way back home and finished his schooling and became a missionary Bible preaching pastor after 24 long years being home in Britain. Patrick had another dream. This time it was the people of Ireland calling him back. Patrick knew this was God talking to him again. At that time, Patrick set in his heart and his mind the great commission he needed to complete. He had his marching orders. He had to go back and save the slaves and the people from hell and eternal damnation and bring the nation of and bring Jesus to the nation of Ireland. Well into his middle age, at age 46 years old, he returned to Ireland. Patrick was one thing for sure. He was a missionary. Patrick shared the gospel through danger, hardship, and persecution. If we look at Matthew 28, 18 and 19, Jesus is saying, "And Jesus came and spake, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore to all and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." That is fulfilling the Great Commission. It is what we should be doing, discipling for Jesus to all nations. We may not be able to travel to other countries as a church or as individuals. We can send funds, letters of support, prayers and to all nations, just like Carlos down in Venezuela for a number of years with us, supporting them. But he's now in Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. Okay, I didn't write it right. Okay. Patrick practiced the grace of forgiveness. Patrick could have been executed for being a runaway slave. Some of the tribal leaders didn't want anything to do with him, but God had protected him. He brought and taught the good news of the gospel and the saving power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He wanted the Irish people to hear the good news and God's love for them. The very same people that had held him as a slave for six long years to and the nation of Ireland. Patrick was not well received at first, but just like the Apostle Paul, he pressed on. And Philippians 3:14 says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Patrick remained in Ireland for the rest of his life. He was 77 years old when he died on March 17th, is the day of his death. Many Irish people, mindful about going to church and celebrating St. Patrick's Day, as soon as church is over, they celebrate with the most popular meal, corned beef and cabbage, or shepherd's pie. I experienced the shepherd's pie, I think in January, here at our potluck. Karen Walker made it. It was great, with crusted potatoes on top. Patrick had a very different approach for reaching the Irish people. He went to the tribal leaders and chiefs and preached the good news about Jesus and led them to trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, converting them to Christianity. After establishing churches, schools, and monasteries, he would train people in discipleship to carry on the good news about Jesus. He would move on to other parts of the country. Patrick had a true heart for reaching the unsaved. He trained, get these numbers, 1,000 pastors and planted 700 churches and baptized 120,000 people. According to Mark Driscoll Church history, St. Patrick is known as the Apostle to Ireland. Now, Ireland is referred just 2,000 years later, mind you. Now, Ireland is referred to as a secular nation with less than 1% thought to be Christians. Folks, we need to be speaking the name of Jesus and Christianity to everyone we encounter. Let's not have that happen to us here in America. I will refer to him as St. Patrick. A lot of people don't want to refer to him as a saint. But if you look in the Bible, it says, because believers in Jesus Christ are called saints. It's throughout the whole New Testament. But in Colossians 1:2, you can look it up there if you want to, too. A saint has been defined as a man or a woman in whom Christ lives. It is not known for sure if Patrick was ever ordained by the Roman Catholic Church. They thought of him as an out-of-control rebel with unorthodox ministry methods. Yet he baptized 120,000 and planted 700 churches. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, again, therefore, go and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Patrick speaks about himself in his autobiography as a countryman, a simple countryman, and most contemptible to many. St. Patrick practiced the art of forgiveness, reaching out and serving others and the church. Patrick's strength, I'm getting really dry, strength came from none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Outreach starts with worship of our God and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. St. Patrick was a simple man that loved and served Jesus. St. Patrick took the Great Commission very seriously to the whole country of Ireland. Dr. J. Vernon McGee has a slogan that I wanted to share with you guys for all their literature. It says, taking the whole word to the whole world. Okay, and it's on everything, and that's really what the Great Commission is doing. St. Patrick had a prayer. He would say over and over again, think of this as protection for each and every one of us. If we are speaking the name of Jesus and Christ, then this fits, okay? And I want us all to say this, but we're going to say it a little bit slow so it sinks into our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our being, okay? And maybe you'll go home with it and remember it and use it, okay? Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lay down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. He wanted everyone he came into contact with to have Christ in their heart. Let us pray, please. Thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your son dying on the cross for us and for our sins and being resurrected 3 days later, and he lives in our hearts and with the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you will guide and direct each and every one throughout this week and through forever with asking you for guidance. We thank you again, Lord, for this.